is that the new Money Bill and Related Matters Amendment Act is beginning to impose certain limitations on us and Parliament as a whole. And that will require the respective committees of finance to come up with some sort of mechanisms and proposals moving forward on how best to deal with these challenges. Otherwise, we'll then reduce Parliament to a body that nobody will take serious as we move on, because we will not have sufficient time to interact particularly with the public in public participation in the main. We had to request organizations, individuals, economists to come and make presentations to us within a very short space of time. Some of them had to finalize their presentations in here or just hours before they could meet with us. So the committee chairpersons that are involved in looking into the implementation of the Money Bill Act should begin to look into ways and means or mechanisms that will make it possible for us, as from the next round of budget presentations or budget tabling, how effective or effectively can Parliament execute its mandate. So I'm just making these few observations so that as we look at our report today, we should also understand the constraints that we've had to go through. The item for today, honourable members, is the consideration and adoption of the draft report so that can be 80 seats and be debated in the House tomorrow. We have put together a document that has been circulated to all of you, I believe so, in time, and therefore honourable members should be able to look into that. Bradley, when was the document circulated? Now. Late yesterday, probably members only got it today. But let's go through the document page by page and see if we need to make amendments or extractions so that we can adopt the report with amendments. Honourable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just wondering whether it would be possible if you could give us a couple of moments to just read to this, because it did come rather late. Thank you, Chairperson.
Accepted. We'll give you, can honourable members take about the next 20 to 30 minutes? I'm doing so for those of us whose seventh language is English. And for those of you whose first language is English, you can do it in 15 minutes. Thank you. Ten to 11 will then actually consider. Ten to 10, sorry. The chief, the whippery on our side was getting surprised, why am I doing it? Because by 11 at least we should have done and concluded the business of this report.
Liberation, the submissions, both by reading the material and having reports on what was said and done. And I feel that this report correctly restates both the documents submitted to the committee as well as the submissions that the committee received. However, we are in a situation here in which all political parties said a somehow similar reaction to the to the statement with different nuances, but it was somehow similar. The only party that perhaps is a little out of tone is the one that I represent, the Inkatha Freedom Party, in which the leader made statements which were somehow different. So my difficulty on which I ask you your guidance is how do I register our concerns, because this process has engaged the government, has engaged the public participants, but not the parties themselves. The parties have spoken outside this committee. How do I register the concerns we have about the medium-term statement, which is not, we have no problem with what it is here, because it just restates what happened. But perhaps, I don't know whether it would go to the conclusion, to chapter 10, or to key issues, but the key issues are as raised from labor and organized parties and not from political parties. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I know it's clarification that you've asked. We'll come back to that.
Mine is on page, it's about, it's just a proposition. I don't know whether it's in the right place. Page 6. If you can just, page 6. Point number 5. The first sentence. I'm not sure about that proposition. To the fiscus, to the finance. I don't know if whether the another two and the finances is in there. Are you with me, Chair? You have to step in the chair.
Yeah. Take your seat.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on page 6 and it's point number 5. I'm saying I'm a bit uncomfortable with the second prepositions. It says the budget revenue is the amount of revenue available to the fiscus, to the finance. That's the two, the another two of two. Does that sound does with the first good English?
Yeah. No. I think.
I think I'm asking the chair. Yeah.
Honorable Ambrose, can you speak through the chair?
Exactly.
Okay, I think what I wanted to do, Honorable Members, one is just to clarify Ambrosini, Honorable Ambrosini, and then we then deal with the content page by page.
Okay.
So that if there are changes that we want to effect, we do that. But coming back to your question, Honorable Ambrosini, in terms of parliamentary procedures, we are a committee of parliament. And the budget or the medium-term budget policy statement has been referred to the committee, and we've interacted with that through public hearings and ourselves. We are now making a report in line with what has been presented to us. And if we agree with the content and the body of the report, that's what we then recommend back to the House, what we say as a committee. As to what individual parties feel like on a particular matter, they are free to raise those issues in the House itself.
Mr. Chairman, but in this report there's two parts, one which is very long and it's very descriptive, and it just tells you what you were told and what, basically what you were told, what the committee was told. Then there is a second part which starts at number 10, in which the committee deliberates.
Yeah,
so I'm not questioning the what has been told to the committee because I can't. But in terms of the committee's deliberation, it's all captured in one sentence, which reflects on what comes before. Therefore, the committee accepts, which is underlined, what comes before. Now, we have problem in accepting what comes before. So either we deal with that by saying the committee accepts what comes before with the objection of the IFP, for the following reasons, because in terms of the rules, we have the right to a minority view.
Can you just stop, Honorable Ambrosini? You are getting into the detail of the report. And if you have an issue that you think is not properly capturing your views in terms of this medium-term policy statement, let's deal with it in the manner in which I have proposed. So that you then say, in terms of this phraseology, our difficulties are here. Then we look into that. But after all, the House or the committee will then have to make a decision on that particular matter. And you have correctly said you have not been part of the deliberations most of the time. And therefore would not want to rehash the deliberations and the discussions now. It will be very
important. You're not responding to my point.
No. Can you be disciplined? I'm chairing the meeting. This is a committee meeting. We are not going to sing and have a chorus at the same time. I've made a proposal on how we should actually approach this subject and the report. We go to page 1, page 2, page 3. If you've got an issue, don't mix the recommendations and the body itself, because I think you are jumping to the conclusions. And therefore, in what you have in mind in terms of not wanting to be identified with the support, if certain things have not been clarified, therefore we cannot get into the body of the discussions. So I would actually say and request, humbly so, that we should get into the body of the report. And if there's an issue that you don't feel comfortable with, raise it constructively. And it's not for the chair to respond. It's committee members will also assist in responding to that particular issue, and the chair will make a ruling at the end of the day. Can we start with the actual deliberations on the report of members? Page 1, which is basically the introduction and background. And this introduction and background captures what happened. Page 1, comment. Page 2.
The second line, after the word MTBPS, I suggest that the word intends to be added. The MCVS intends to, because the factually correct position is intends to do so. Whether or not it does so, it's a different story. And the same in the following paragraph, in the two lines down, it also addresses two key policy challenges. Again, it also intends to address two key policy challenges.
Paragraph.
First paragraph. Second proposition, the MTPS provides, adding intent to, and the same, in the middle of the same paragraph, it also addresses, it intends to address.
Sorry, Chair. I don't agree with the change, because what the sentence is saying there, it says the MTPS provides all stakeholders, which we did, with an ideal opportunity, which we did. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with my colleague at the end of the table here on this particular issue. Not only I support you. I also have a comment on the page as well, too. In the first paragraph, in the second last sentence, it talks about, or three from the bottom, reform the public service. So it says, the sentence says, the second is to create a culture of responsible stewardship and reform the public service. My understanding is that it is to improve the efficiency of the public service, unless I misunderstood it. Thanks, Chair.
Luyang agreed with that,
yeah.
And I think
the
Secretary kept having the changes.
I have an understanding, Chair, here, because in the introduction, there is an indication that this presentation seeks to actually do things differently. So that differently includes the reformation of what the public service has been doing, to do things differently. Not in the usual manner. There is no more business as usual. So I'm saying what the document is saying is precisely clarifying the intention of the MTDBS in relation to how government has been operating before vis-a-vis the intervention, the fiscal intervention that is intended to now, which is tantamount to the total reformation of the public service.
Honourable Judge.
Chairperson, I agree with that comment, yes, that to reform the public service, that was the purpose, and there's also the purpose to reform it to improve its efficiency. There's a reason why it's getting reformed. I have no problem with the reform. It's what it's intended to do. So we can maybe just add and say, and reform the public service to improve its efficiency. That would be fine. Thanks, Chair.
I agree, yeah. Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah, to add to that.
All right. We're still on page 2. Any other comment? Honourable Member.
Leave, Mr. Chairman.
Leave.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I'm somewhat perturbed about the first line on Section 3. It claims that there is a slow and uneven recovery of South Africa. I assume that's recovery of the economy of South Africa. Is that really what we deliberated? I did miss one or two meetings, but is there general consensus that there is indeed, right at the point we are at and have been at during our deliberations, a slow and uneven recovery of the economy?
Honourable Duvazana.
Thank you, Chair. This is exactly what...
Maybe just to make sure, sorry, Honourable, to make sure that as we speak and everybody is able to follow, we should just indicate what paragraph we're referring to. Yes. Honourable Duvazana.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this the first sentence on page 2, item number 3, economic outlook and policy, that's where the member is referring to. The first sentence is exactly when if you look at the policy statement by the minister, he said slow and uneven. Thank you.
Honourable Liz, it will be followed by Honourable Ambrosini.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The minister may indeed have that opinion, but this is expressing the opinion of this committee. And I'm not sure that that's true, but the Honourable Dr. George indicates to me that I should accept that, so that's fine, thank you.
Thanks for being a very good whip, Honourable Judge, whipping people and members into line. Honourable Ambrosini?
I'm just very concerned, Mr. The Honourable George is very accommodating.
Wait,
okay. No, you see, Mr. Chairman, is the Honourable Lee. Yes, forgive me. The point originally raised by the Honourable Lisa highlights the difficulty which I tried to bring forward at the beginning. The report says that the committee was told that that there are these signs of recovery, and that the report says the committee was told that the economy is going to recover. Now, I can't take exception with that statement, because the committee was told this, was told by the minister, by the two experts, and they told you that. I have a problem with the substance of the statement. I don't agree with it. Now, and this is the difficulty which I lack. There is nothing in this report that I can take exception to, because it's a record of what the committee was told. But there is no way an indication of the deliberations of the committee, except in the last sentence. So I have the same problem you originally had, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to notice it in this paragraph. I can only do it at the end, because this is what the committee was told.
In the spirit of this particular insinuation, Chair, the committee is not an intellectual body. The information that was given to the committee by a scientific body, including all the stakeholders, said the economy will improve. And of course, it is generally known that there hasn't been a perpetual downturn of economy forever. It is definitely going to be like that. But this is not coming from the committee now. The committee has been told. I think it's a clear and explicit reference. You see, because what we think, as a committee, we are public representatives, and we are representing the aspirations, the feelings of what the people are saying, especially the fundies on this particular field. It is quite correct for the committee to say we have been told it is not our own baby.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I wanted to add on to the previous submission. I think all indications are pointing to the same direction, the direction that we are doing well in terms of recovering from the downturn, but we are very slow. We are lagging. I mean, behind the entire, more especially developed countries. The recent indication is our performance in as far as issues of the foreign reserve is concerned, but also performance of individual companies, which is recorded in the financial publications that are all over. Now, the purpose of this exercise, of course, the overall number from the ISP might be correct, that he's having a view. So that view must be tabled. This is an opportunity. Must be tabled here to say I'm differing with this particular submission, and I'm basing my submission on 1, 2, 3, as informed by 1, 2, 3 sources. I think that will help this particular committee to formulate a position. So the member must not feel restricted, I mean, to raise issues that he thinks that the committee must look at differently, provided there is adequate information, I mean, to make us believe that this is something that we need to look at differently. Thank you.
Before I allow anybody, I think I just want to give some sort of guidance on this matter. You see, the assumption that the committee has not applied its mind on the recovery path, and therefore it is simply regurgitating what was told, is incorrect, because the committee didn't just receive submissions and kept quiet. We engaged robustly. Now, unfortunately, Honorable Ambrosini, you missed an opportunity to engage with the experts on this matter. And after robust engagement and their interaction and their responses to this view that you are holding probably, the committee, in its deliberation with the experts, we accepted their observation in terms of the economic performance and recovery as tabled by the minister themselves in terms of the MTPPS. So it's not just what the minister has tabled, it's what the experts and ourselves have engaged on this particular matter. So what is covered here, it does not say the committee engaged and argued this particular position to a point where there was finally an agreement that the views of the experts were correct. But generally, what is tabled here and what is written here is exactly what transpired in those deliberations. We do not receive information and say on our own, behind closed doors, smoke-filled, dark rooms, we'll then have our own deliberations and agree amongst ourselves. It was a free interaction. So this caption here does reflect the spirit of our discussions, honorable members. And I think those who are participating would agree with the summation. And I don't think we need to deliberate further on this matter. Thank you. Sorry, Chair.
I just want to add on what you're saying. You know, we're not going to complete this document. The reason being, honorable members do not attend meetings. And as a result, they are delaying us now because they are not on the same path of understanding. Thank you, Chair.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I take exception to this unwarranted attack on me. None of what I'm raising is a consequence of not my attending the meeting. It's a consequence of reading this document, which doesn't, in its language, doesn't relate deliberations of the committee. Doesn't say the committee deliberated. It relates what has been said. At the outset, I've made my difficulties present to you for your guidance. I said I've got two or three points which I need to have recorded. I don't know whether anything will need to be recorded in the body because the body doesn't carry the deliberations of the committee or at the end. So, you tell me what to record, but frankly, this personal attack that the honorable member is not the first time, it should continuously do. I don't know what your problem is with me, but I wish that stopped.
Okay, honorable member. I think all what has been said here is that we are not dealing with the conclusions. We are dealing with the body and the content. When you come to the conclusions, then raise your issue right there. Thank you. Okay, honorable members. I think under economic outlook, one of the things that we may need to look at, particularly first sentence where it ends, recession in South Africa is indicated by a budget deficit. It's not indicated by. I think we should find a better phraseology on this matter. You know, it's accompanied or something to that extent, not indicated by. You may disagree with me, okay.
I was agreeing, I was proposing that we just change it to your suggestion immediately.
Yeah, all right, thanks. The other matter that I think we need to be factual about it is on page 2, under the 2009 first paragraph, but towards in the middle, of course, where it says the first is to, in fact, it also addresses two key policy challenges, full stop. The first is to transform the South African economy to enable a massive expansion of employment alongside faster growth. If you look at what has been tabled at us, I mean before us, there is no suggestion of a faster growth. It's a steady growth. Yes. So I think we need to marry our language to what the content is all about. And that will be accompanied by a steady growth in employment, not massive expansion of employment. So I thought we should just look into that part. And I think in the table under 3, economic outlook and policy, you should be able to give full description of abbreviated things here, like PSBR. If somebody reads this document and who has not been part of the deliberation, is not an economist, you may think that you are talking about a popular reactor, modulus, and so on in the... Okay, fine. I'm sure that it is here, but in bracket here, do that. But also indicate that you are drawing similarities between the 1992 recession and 2008-2009 economic development, so that when you read this and you look at the paragraph, I mean the table, you understand exactly what you are dealing with. So I thought I should make those comments. And also in terms of the people who came and made input to us, you just say Mr. Lanfray. I haven't seen anywhere who is Mr. Lanfray, where does he come from? So it may be important just to indicate, it's a Sanlam. Is it there? Oh, okay, food points, okay, fine. No, that's okay. Okay, I didn't read the bottom. Okay, I think let's move to page 3. By 11 we should be done. Honorable Peter?
Chair, I'm still on point 2. You've raised an issue around the two policies that have been proposed by the minister. One being that of transforming the economy.
Yeah.
And you are questioning the fact that it says that in transforming that economy, that economy must be able to absorb large numbers of workers. My point is that that is there in the MTPPF.
Okay.
So the masses is correct. Maybe it's not the same word in the document, but they are talking about large numbers of workers that must be absorbed by the economy.
Accepted? Good. Page 3. Mr. Harris?
Thanks, Chair. The first paragraph of page 3 is quite poorly written. I have four just mainly grammatical corrections. The second line, the third and the second word should be deleted, redundant. So the pessimistic should be deleted. The and pessimistic. On the third line,
first paragraph.
The first paragraph, second line, delete the and pessimistic, because they're redundant. On the third line, insert more between even and worrying. In the fifth line, on the third line, between even and worrying, insert more. On the fifth line, delete the first three words, severity of N, they're redundant. And on the second to last line, add the word liberalization after exchange controls. The last one is in the second to last line, the first two words are exchange controls. It should read exchange controls liberalization. There hasn't been a gradual approach to exchange controls. There's been a gradual approach to their liberalization.
Second paragraph, line 4, records that South African producers will benefit from a recovery in global demand and high commodity prices. Should that not be higher? Are we really expecting high commodity prices?
What do you suggest? Higher. All right. Honorable George, followed by Honorable Ambrosini.
Thank you, Chair. In the third paragraph on the last sentence, it's talking about Mr. Woody Arun, and he argued that organized labor do not and should not support inflation targeting. He was talking on behalf of COSATU, not organized labor, so I think it should read, he argued that COSATU do not support, etc. Thank you, Chairperson. That's on the paragraph 3, the last line. Very last line. Organized labor should read COSATU.
Agreed.
Any comment on page 4?
Honorable Ambrosini.
The Chairman, on the second paragraph, the debt is given as a percentage of GDP, which is what the Minister has done and what most of the submissions have done, and that's what the international practice. There was one of the papers, I don't remember which one, that also gave the same figure as a percentage of the state spending. So looking at the state as a company, what was the state indebtedness? And I thought it was an interesting figure. Obviously it was much, much higher. I'm wondering whether it could not also be added. As an estimate deficit of 6% of a percentage of the GDP or XYZ percentage of the state budget.
It's a question. Is it clear, honourable members, in terms of what honourable Ambrosini is referring to? Just repeat yourself. I'm also struggling to.
It was an interesting piece of information, because usually when you're looking at how much money we are borrowing, we relate it to the GDP, which is how much money the country is making. But that's only the borrowing of the state. The country borrows its own money to make the money it makes. I've got debt. Most people have got debt. Companies have got debt. So by saying that it's 7.6%, the state borrowing is 7.6% of what the country makes, it's really relating two things which do not match, because the country could have a 70% indebtedness. But that's what everybody does. And so I accept it. But there was, in one of the submissions, the other figure, which tells exactly how much money this company, which is the state, is borrowing as compared to how much money brings in. So what is the percentage of debt? And it is not in the SMTP, it was in one of the submissions. But if it's not readily available, it doesn't matter. I thought it strikes me as I was reading the paper, as a much more salient and significant figure to see how much money the government is actually borrowing vis-à-vis its capacity of repaying it out of revenues. Not available, it doesn't matter.
Honourable Stila?
Chair, honourable member is raising a very good point, but I think it's covered under point 6. So if he can hold his point and then raise it under...
No, I was going to say that. All right, page 5. Honourable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. We actually had quite a bit of difficulty on this page. To start off with, on the fiscal framework, there is no budget office in place, as you know, so there was a limitation on our ability to really interrogate the assumptions, etc. And according to our calculations, the 13% increase in tax, 13% increase in revenue is indicated of a 9% increase, nominal increase in GDP. So a conclusion I'm starting to draw in my mind is that we're going to see increases in tax. Now, I did ask the minister about that, and he said, well, you'll have to see in February. So I have a question about these assumptions that have been made as to the rigor of these assumptions. And we haven't had the opportunity to do that through a budget office. So somewhere I'd like to capture, well, this is my or our view, is that the assumptions may well be off the mark. And if that is the case, that it actually does have some kind of ramifications, obviously. You know, because if we've agreed the fiscal framework as it is, we've, we've thought about it, etc., and we've agreed it, and then we get to the position next year that we think, oh my goodness, you know, the assumptions are a little bit off, there will be something that will have to give way. So I'm not quite sure how we capture that. I'm quite happy to put a caveat in there somewhere to say that, you know, the budget office is not in place and therefore the assumptions or something, you know. But I'd like that to be included if we can. I will then live with what we have then. Then the second issue is on the, I think it's the, what is the one, two, the third paragraph in the center, in the middle, just before it talks about Miss Gretchen Humphreys. There's a section that talks about economic growth will also be supported by the South African Reserve Bank's decision to reduce interest rates. Now, I'm not sure if that is her speaking or whether that was us, because if it's us, I wouldn't necessarily agree, because yes, monetary and fiscal policy is aligned and they are kind of pointing the same way, but the bank does operate independently on page 5, yes, in the center. So I think we just need to clarify if that's her speaking or if it's us. And if it's us, then I think we need to change this sentence. And then right at the bottom on the last paragraph, the second sentence, the fiscus has been able to mobilize resources in support of the economy without compromising future growth or service delivery. I think that's fine, but I'd like to add on, provided appropriate steps are taken to improve efficiency of resources. So we're looking in the crystal ball and saying, yes, we're not compromising future growth and service delivery, but I think it needs a caveat to say that provided the efficiency of the resources is improved, because the minister himself said that they're not as efficient as they should be. So I'd like to just massage that a bit. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Jeffrey. Harris, sorry.
Thanks, Chair. Just on that last line, my colleague wanted to extend the sentence, and I agree with that, but I'd like to add something to the beginning of the sentence, too. The sentence in question is the second one of the last paragraph, the fiscus has been able to. Honourable George had a bit to add on the end, which I completely agree with, but I'd also, in the beginning, preface it with, based on Treasury forecasts, comma, the fiscus has been able to. Because we're not entirely sure that we've been able to yet, but based on the forecast, it looks as if we would be able to.
Honourable Ambrosini.
See, again, Mr. Chairman, I need to decide how we handle this. We have exactly the same difficulty. We have a fundamental difficulty on the forecast, which is twofold, both in terms of economic growth and consequently in terms of revenue generation. They tell us the economy picks up, we're going to have the money. Now, what the Honourable George is suggesting is to amend this paragraph to register the view, if I understand you correctly, through you, Mr. Chairman, yes, but we really do not know because we do not have the budget office. I don't know then whether we should not also register the view that we are of the opinion that certain positive indications have been taken over possible negative indications, so as to create an optimist scenario on which the entire budget statement is based. And we think that that's not sufficiently prudent, which is the main concern we have.
Honourable members, I think there are certain aspects of recommendations that you are making in terms of page 5, of which some of them would not necessarily be relevant for this section. Because if you look at the document, I think it's page 9, which makes observation on key issues. And that's where honorable members will then be able to fill in the issue that we need to really think, or we really think needs to be taken into consideration when we make our recommendations under key issues. So I thought we should not conflate the two. You are raising very important points, but they may not necessarily be relevant in terms of the section that we are dealing with now. Yeah, it may be that it provokes that thinking immediately. But what we should do is to actually check the content, the grammar, and indicate towards the end we need to capture this particular point in under key issues. Agreed. Jeffrey?
Harris.
Chair. Harris. I don't know, I call you Jeffrey.
It does look like John Jeffrey. Can I just confirm, Chair, that the committee is happy to support the actual technical changes to that sentence in that last paragraph? Proposed by Dr. George and I.
Read it again.
So it would read, and can you finish it for me?
Can I read it, Chair?
Let him read, because it is his sentence.
It's based on.
Well, let me have a go. Yeah. So the second sentence would begin, and I'm talking of the second sentence in the last paragraph. It would read, based on Treasury forecasts, the fiscus has been able to mobilize resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Dr. George has
so to read that, okay, comma, after delivery, provided that appropriate steps are taken to improve the efficiency of resources.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, okay.
Honourable Des?
Chair, I've picked up that the bullet point underneath this paragraph are placing also, if you look at bullet point number 3 on page 6, the last sentence where it speaks of moderation in the growth of government spending, in my opinion, is trying to emphasize on the need of that smart spending, not unless we want to obviously overemphasize it by stating it twice in the same paragraph. Thank you.
Honourable Harris.
Chair, I don't think it is actually stating it twice. I'm talking, Dr. George and I are talking about qualifying the line by talking about Treasury forecasts. I agree with the member's points about the third bullet, but I don't think they're the same thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the amendments that Honourable George and Honourable Harris have proposed in terms of this paragraph stands. The rest of what you are now raising is part of the emphasis on what they have raised. Can I move with the spelling of M-O-F? Yeah, move. Page 6. Is it 7? Page 6. Because we're on page 5. Yes. Dr. George?
Chairperson, the issue I raised in page 5 about this statement in the centre about the Reserve Bank's decision to reduce rates, we didn't address that, Chair. My question was, I'm not sure whether that was Ms. Gretchen speaking.
In page 5?
Yeah, page 5. In the third paragraph.
Economic growth will also be supported by the South African Reserve Bank's decision to reduce interest rates.
Well, you see, the thing is, I don't think that it fits there properly if it's us saying that, because the monetary and fiscal policy obviously do operate together, and the Reserve Bank does have a mandate, and so it faces in a particular way. However, the Reserve Bank does have an element of independence, and therefore it makes its decisions. They might well go up and down, you know. So I don't know if we want to say that.
Continent advisor, content advisor.
Thank you, Chair. That sentence aimed to translate the collective view of government that both fiscal and monetary policies are going to work hand in hand in improving the economy. Since government collectively, they subscribe to inflation targeting. Thank you.
Why don't, because when I look at this thing, you then say in other ways. In other words, coordinate fiscal and monetary policies are expected to stimulate economic growth. Then why don't we leave the issue of keep the issue of the Reserve Bank out of the equation?
Yeah.
And Okay. Good. Agreed, Honourable George. Last week. Not those two of men, sir. Ladon's Khan. Ladon's Ruth.
Removed.
Honorable Spidler, I can see that you are getting lost. Ladon's Ruth means let's a little bit hurry. No, Honorable Spidler says it's shake. It's not like that. Okay, page 6, comment. Dr. George, excellent, and you are deep in the dark. You must prat no.
Chief President, I see your Afrikaans was better than mine. In the second paragraph, in the second last sentence, it says about provide an employee with a job security. I think the word a shouldn't be there. It should be an employee with job security. Thank you, Chair.
Agree. 8-7. There's government debt.
I don't know whether I was not clear, but just for the record, I don't mind, but what I was suggesting is not here. I was just suggesting to have the figure which indicates the percentage of debt on the base of the size of the budget, which is what a company would do.
Do you see in the table there which says borrowing requirements and financing, that table, which projects into the medium-term expenditure framework.
Can you direct my attention?
What government's borrowing requirement is going to be.
Yes.
The bottom part of it is figures.
Listen, Mr. Chamber, could you kindly direct my attention to the percentage?
Pardon?
More personable member direct my attention to the percentage. It's a number. This is not there. Yes. That's the point I was making. It's a nice number, but if it's not readily available, it's not there.
No, Chair, I want to suggest that if we agree, the drafters will add the percentage, because the figures are there and the percentage is there in the main document.
Yeah. Agreed, Honourable Ambrose. Good. Page 8. No argument about fiscal sustainability and continued development. Agreed. That conference at the end of the table must be part of us. That bilateral, which same term, you know, eye to eye contact, might be part of this meeting. Okay, page 8. Agreed. Page 9. Honorable Harris and Honorable George.
Thank you, Chair. I have a problem with this. I think this section takes a very rose-coloured view of sustainability, and I agree. Sustainability historically has been fine, and I think we need to reflect that here because it's kind of page nine.
Okay.
I find in terms of sustainability, this report is looking forward, saying how wonderful our sustainability position is, but we don't know that yet. So what I'm proposing is, in line 6 of the first paragraph, it begins above comma, government has the ability. I propose that after has, we insert the word had. So government has had the ability to finance its expenditure over a long period of time. So insert the word had there in line 6, and in the line below, the second sentence begins, this ability promotes. I propose that we change that to this ability has historically promoted the sustainable fiscal position.
I think it's very progressive. Agreed. I hope you are coping with the changes. Good. All right. Good. You know, we are now working on trust, because at the end we may adopt this report with amendments, with the hope that everything that we have said will be reflected in the report. Okay. Any other issue on page 9? Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Under key issues, the second bullet point, says the minister emphasized that government should try to save some money and reduce corruption. I think that the wording should rather be reduce inappropriate expenditure. So the minister emphasizes that government should try to reduce inappropriate expenditure and reduce corruption. And then I think this is the point at which, would this be the point where we would add this issue about the assumptions then, Chair? Or would we do that on, I suppose it would be, yeah, yes. I would suggest maybe the following. I just scribbled something down here as an extra additional point. And also bearing in mind that if you look at page number 36 on the medium-term budget policy statement, above the fiscal framework, it actually has a paragraph here that says that the proposed budget takes into account the consolidated revenue expenditure of national government, the Social Security and RDP funds, provinces and various public entities, but excludes local government and the state-owned enterprises. And we know that the state-owned enterprises can do interesting things to a budget. So my suggestion on the key issue is to add a point, something along the lines of, given that the budget office is not yet in place, the committees were not able to fully explore the assumptions on which the fiscal framework is calculated. The assumptions may well be overly optimistic. That's a suggestion. And then, maybe overly optimistic and require further analysis. And then maybe another bullet point also, maybe just suggesting some concern that it is also a concern that the framework excludes the state-owned enterprises and local government. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this point, and for your guidance, cutting to the chase, I think there are three views, or at least three views, in respect of the projection, which is the critical aspect of this of this entire exercise. If we all agree on the projection, then everything follows. If we disagree, then nothing is good enough. But there are, I think, basically three views. One that says yes, one that says maybe, and one that says no way. Now, in capturing it as a committee report, either we table all three views, you know, with the adequate language, agreed with the projection, we really don't know whether to agree or to disagree because we do not know, we do not have the means to investigate the question, which I think is Dr. George's position, or my position. We don't believe that, we think this is too optimistic, it's not the way to build a budget. So either we report all three views, or we need to find some sort of language which would be consensus on the one hand, on the other hand, nondescript. So I would perhaps suggest that all three views be highlighted, and that is consistent with the rules, which require a report to express minority views when they are raised.
Malamini?
Sorry, thank you. Chair, I was saying with the phrase over optimistic coming from Honourable George, I don't agree with it, but I will agree with his first proposal where he was saying maybe it would be better to also indicate, say something about the budget office, which then is going to be online with the last sentence that we've just rephrased it on page 5, that is based on the Treasury forecast. So which means we are not exactly too sure about what will happen, what will be the outcome.
Honourable Van Rooyen, followed by Luyenge.
Yes, I think Honourable George made the submission on the bullet point 2. Our commitment around corruption, I think, has been very clear that we want to do completely away with corruption. So reducing corruption, in my opinion, is not the right caption. So we need either to say eradication or elimination of corruption, because we have been committed to root it out altogether. Thank you.
Honourable Luyenge?
I think I'm partly covered by the previous speaker regarding the view of government in relation to corruption, because we just don't want to minimize, we want to get rid. So we must not accommodate any element of corruption, and we must say so. And in relation to exactly what is going to be the outcome of this document in terms of doing that, it's not something that we must say we are not very sure that is going to happen, because we are also committed as Parliament in the fight against corruption. We don't want to accommodate it. But all endeavors to fight corruption, we must seem to be supportive of such aspirations.
I think there's in general an agreement on what this bullet point is intended to say. And I think the scriber is comfortable with that. But I want to go back to the issue raised by Honorable Ambrosini. But what we should also take into consideration, consistent with the rules, as you say, that this is a joint committee report. The NCOP does not represent political parties but provinces. It does have a representative of political parties and so on and so forth. But when we adopt this report and we take into consideration the views of the NCOP, we should factor that particular element in our discussions. So let's just come back to the issue of the three views that needs to be married. I'm trying to check in under which bullet point here. If it's an issue, a new issue that you need to be reflected under key issues, let it come out as a new matter under key issues, so that don't conflict issues around that particular matter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two issues in this entire document as far as we are concerned. The one is whether we agree on the forecast, because if we all agreed on the forecast, then the document is perfect for what it does. And the second issue, which I wanted to raise later, but I'm just mentioning it now, is that of the missed opportunities. Fine with what it does, not fine enough for, in respect of what it fails to do. Now, on the first issue, it's very difficult to find a way of marrying a yes and maybe or a no, unless we all marry them on a maybe. Now, I'm willing to live with a maybe, but I would suspect that the ANC component would be uneasy with undermining the presentation on the minister and the policy by raising a maybe in respect of the very foundation on which it is, the MTBPS is based. So it seems that unless we are married on the basis of a maybe, it might be better to have all three options of yes, maybe, and no listed as views. And a report needs to list views, minority views, as they are expressed. If this is a joint report, this is a view that I'm expressing on behalf of the party. If the NCOP had a minority view expressed on behalf of a province, it would be recorded as a province minority view rather than a party minority view, and in that the rules would apply equally.
Yeah. Now I think it's completely new what you are raising, Honorable Ambrosini. I was just struggling to grasp, and I say probably I am extraordinarily dull, but I don't think so. And I've come to the conclusion that the issue that you are raising is an issue that we could deliberate and debate at the end of our report, because we are raising key issues. You are saying, in terms of key issues, amongst others, that you think we need to record is that there are different opinions in terms of trends in the recovery path. Do I hear you correctly?
This is an issue that I, sorry for my shortcomings, but we are all trying to speak a language which is not our own, and I might not have come across very clearly, but this is the issue that I raised at the beginning of the meeting, saying, we have a problem, where do we put it? And for your guidance, for as long as it is registered, we have two problems. One with the assumptions in terms of economic recovery, the other one with the missed opportunities. I have no view on where you choose to put them. I just want to have them recorded.
Okay. Honourable George?
Thank you, Chairperson. In the paragraph that I suggested, I actually had a factual statement and I had an opinion. So I will withdraw the opinion, so we could lose the last bit of it. So, for example, I would like to propose then that the point would say, given that the Budget Office is not yet in place, the committees were not able to fully explore the assumptions on which the fiscal framework is calculated. Full stop. It's a fact, and then I don't have to offer my opinion on it. Thank you, Chair.
I think I've got many allies on this one, starting from the far right. All right. Page 9. To page 10 now, because I think this factual statement must also give us some basics in terms of concrete proposals. What is it that we are proposing as a committee on this matter? Ndate Hoshi Mashile from NCOP.
It happens I was still on the page 9, on that bullet number 2, the second but last sentence. You have an abbreviated Act, Money Bills Act. If it is referring to the Money Bills Amendment, it should be written in full. Otherwise, it will be misleading. And then the next issue that I just wanted to raise is on the third bullet. Also, the third line from the bottom, whether it is correct to, in black and white, talk about a partnership between the Ministry of Cooperative Governance and Parliament and the Ministry of Performance and Management, whether that is possible to be written in right, that you can have a partnership of those three. I'm having reservations about that. But working together, because one has got oversight roles over the other one. But to write, as you've written there, that cooperative governance and traditional affairs expected to form partnership with Parliament and the Ministry of Performance and Monitoring and Evaluation. I'm just having a problem on that statement.
Honourable Speaker,
Chair, according to my understanding, what the statement is trying to emphasise is what we've been calling for departments and parliament committees to work together, not to form friendly relationships, but to work together in relation to their mandate.
Yeah, Chairperson, that's what I thought this statement seeks to say that. So we must just restate it correctly, that not to use the word partnership.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
It will mislead. Thanks.
Rephrase it properly. Just to say, honorable members, you have made very substantive and fundamental contributions and probably amendments to this report. As much as we have got confidence that the content advisor has the ability to can grasp everything, there might be one or two things, especially you, Honourable George, that you may need to make your submissions on one or two issues in writing so that it could help. And then I'll also work with the content advisor just to check the finality of what is being suggested. Just to cover ourselves so that nothing falls in between the cracks, you know. Page 9, page 10, conclusions and proposed recommendations. I see many hands. The minority view will deal with it later. Honorable Bidla, Honorable George, Honorable Ambrosini. Speech like death. You have your hand up, ne? Yeah. And then Ambrosini, and I think Honorable George at his hand.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to qualify bullet number 1 on the establishment of the budget office by putting up a time frame to say by January next year we should have appointed a director in the budget office so that by the time we enter the budget period, the person is there and is able to assist the committees. My other recommendation, Chair, is based on what money bills requires us to do in relation to public participation during the MTPPS period. As we all understand that we've been given less than 20 days to deal with this, and the money bills says at least 30 days. So we need to ensure that we give enough time for public participation and maybe try to move out of parliamentary walls and go out there and interact with ordinary people on these processes. I know that will require an allocation of resources for us to do that. My other recommendation, Chair, I don't know whether I should put this, we should put this in the report. It's the capacitation of the Finance Standing Committee. Support staff from secretary to researchers and content advisors. We are dealing with very technical issues here, and we are not really at the level where we are supposed to be. Thank you.
Three direct proposals, recommendations from the previous speaker. Honorable Van Rooyen.
Yes, Chair, I think I've been covered on this point of capacitation. Says to add that it must also go to us as individual members of this committee, because at some stage I know there was a proposal that we are expected to be exposed to relevant training around the issues of this committee. But also the issue of establishment of the budget office was identified within that context of ensuring that we are properly capacitated. So that capacitation must be comprehensive. And lastly, Chair, this issue of reviewing the FAQ revenue formula, because our budget revenue to a certain extent is relying on these custom taxes that we are collecting. And the distribution, the transfer of such a collection to other member states is very important in terms of determining how much do we generate, I mean, as a country, as part of the broader budget revenue. So expediting this process, in my opinion, is very, very crucial. Thank you.
Honorable Ambrosini.
I would like, if it's possible, to discuss this paragraph in two different portions, because there are two different sentences which have been put together. The first one starts from having, and it ends with framework, and the second one recommends the National Assembly and the Council of Provinces consider the following. So the first sentence is, as I understand it, is the committee accepting everything that precedes, and the second one is the recommendation. And then, with your leave, I will speak when you allow me to do so on the first sentence. I have no problem with the second sentence. No, Mr. Chairman, there are two different concepts in the first sentence. The first one, having considered the 2009 MTPS and conducted public hearings, the Standing Committee on Finance and Select Committee on Finance accept the macroeconomic projections and the consolidated revised fiscal framework. Stop. This is one sentence, and it's one concept. And then recommend blah blah blah. I have no problem with the recommendations. So and I will address you when you. Yeah. When you saw the slide on the first sentence.
Honorable Liange, I think we share on that. We share. Okay.
So in the name of transformation, I want us to be consistent here. I want a portfolio committee on finance or a standing committee on finance.
We are a standing committee.
Or not a portfolio committee?
No.
Okay.
We're a standing committee.
So.
All right. Honorable Judge, sorry, I had skipped your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the second bullet point, with regard to establishment of working relationships amongst various committees, I think a very important thing is Statistics South Africa. It used to come to account to the Finance Committee, but doesn't do that anymore. So I think we need to add in, I think they fall under the ministry in the presidency responsible for the National Planning Commission, so with the specific point that it must be Stats SA, because if you look at what's happening with the GDP, for example, we need to understand that because it actually hits the fundamentals of the fiscal framework. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other recommendations? Mr. Leeds.
Mr. Chairman, the second bulletin point under Section 10, Conclusion and Proposed Recommendations, the second to last line, implemented a coordinated approach. I would like us to add coordinated between whom? Who is going to be coordinated? Are we referring to the all Parliament's committees, or are we simply referring to those new ministries of performance monitoring and corporate governance? Who's going to be coordinated here, and who by?
That much it.
I think we should try to de-link.
You see, recommendation must be short and clear. Because if you speak all sorts of things in one sentence, you tend to contradict the first or the second point in the process. I think we should unpack this recommendation here. There are quite a number of recommendations within one. That's how I see it. That much it.
Yeah, actually, I also have a problem with that particular recommendation, because the manner in which it has been crafted right at the beginning to say to the establishment, it seeks to say that that working relationship doesn't exist now. But I think in terms of the constitution and our responsibility as parliament and departments, that relationship is there. But this seeks to say it doesn't exist. I think there is a reason why this recommendation has been put in.
It's improved.
We just need to redraft it correctly.
Can I make a proposal? I think that makes sense what Honourable Mashile is talking about. Perhaps we can say the strengthening of already existing relationship, replacing the word establishment with strengthening.
Maybe, Chair, what is actually causing some trouble here is the fact that we did not come up with clear findings so that we have recommendations. So I don't know whether we're not supposed to maybe identify gaps that will be regarded as findings, and then each of such findings then will have clear recommendations. So now, under this, the key issues that are written here, in the spirit of what we're saying, to say if you are coming up with a recommendation, you must be very clear, you cannot say many things. So the key issues are broad statements. You cannot regard them as a finding, because they are long stories, long statements that are there. I don't know, Chair.
Can we quickly, after going through this report now, and after doing what we've just completed, reflect quickly, maybe on just four or five findings. I don't think it's going to be difficult, so that we assist the crafters of the report. It's a very straightforward exercise as far as I'm concerned. Or if we are not able to do that now, can we, but you can't make those findings in written submissions which are not going to be debated by the committee itself. I'm just thinking if it is possible. I know in one committee which I chair, it was possible to do it within a very short space of time. Because once we've gone through the content and the report, key issues that we've identified, some of them are the basis of findings, basically. And out of those findings, then we can go straight into recommendations. We are almost there, but there's just one gap. You don't have to list so many of them. If we agree, we should take that route. Let's look into that. Findings are basically observations. Honorable Speaker.
Chair, I think what Honorable Member George was raising around the non-existence of the budget office forms part of the findings, and also the issue that was raised by Combat Des, lack of capacity of this committee to engage with technical issues, and the time limitations for public participation. I think those issues, they form part of the critical issues that we need to address moving forward.
Honorable Majamini.
Maybe also to add on what the Honorable George reflected on the statistician general, that it's crucial that at the end of the day, he's not distanced from this committee, since he forms the basis of the allocation of the profitable shares to the provinces. That information, the information that he collects, is crucial that we understand. Thanks.
Honorable George.
Thank you, Chair. I think from all the deliberations we've had, it's very clear that there are certain things in the economy that will either go right or will go wrong, and then we'll see what the future will bring. But fundamentally here is that the assumptions on the fiscal framework will only arise really if the economy grows. And of course there's many things that can make that happen. But I think that we should somewhere perhaps then in the findings say that, you know, very importantly is the issue that, you know, debt is on the uptick, and that we must keep our mind on that. We must keep our eye on that. So in other words, there must be a continual evaluation of the growth in the economy, and so that we can take the appropriate measures as we go along. For example, if the debt keeps on increasing, the economy doesn't grow quickly enough, we are going to have a very serious problem. So I think maybe a recommendation along that line, I don't know how to phrase it, but I could think about it. Thank you, Chair.
Ambrosini?
Observations or views. I came here with the observation of view that I want to record, because I don't know whether it is the place that this budget policy statement is inadequate, not in respect of what it does, but in respect of what it does not do. And it fails to use the opportunity of the global depression to bring about structural changes to the South African economy, starting from the reform of the non-performing state-owned enterprises, to the identification of a new industrial basis, revisiting the issue of the subsidy to the present industry, giving direction to the IDC, which is now bailing out companies in its own discretion without any sectorial attention, and another number of issues of this nature. This entire statement is based on the big if that Dr. George was identifying earlier, which is that if the economy recovers, what if it doesn't? And for each positive sign which has been taken into account, I can identify five more positive signs which have not been taken into account. And it's all predicated on the basis that this quarter we're all going to go spending our money. I don't know why we would have more money this quarter than we had last quarter, and the economy is going to be re-jump-started through consumer demand. Okay, so these are the concerns that we have, and why we would have preferred to use a pessimist approach to the finance of the state rather than an optimist approach, as this one has done.
Yeah. All right. Honorable.
The last one that I'm also proposing is maybe to identify the best evaluation instrument towards a culture of responsibility, performance responsibility of, I don't want to say executives, but, you know, I don't want to we focus into the executives because we focus into all spheres of government. But if we can identify an efficient and effective evaluation instrument towards that culture.
Honorable members, I'm going to cut you short now. Honorable Liang, you are the last one, and I'm going to wrap up the discussion.
I think that we need to have a finding, but it has been raised under the key issues, the issue of the working relationship between the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs with Parliament and the new ministries. So I thought we should have a finding around that the introduction of this Operation Clean Audit was not actually put to the knowledge and not necessarily the knowledge. The Department of Cooperative Governance and Parliament and these ministries, there is no level of understanding which is the same, and the cooperation, therefore, what Parliament is going to do and this department in terms of assisting cooperative governance to achieve that.
Okay. I'm just thinking the emphasis on the Department of Cooperative Governance, whether we're not talking at the level of Parliament and the entire government committees. Secondly, we are not talking about cooperation between all spheres of government, local government, provincial government, and national government, and Parliament. I think the isolation of cooperative government, I find it a bit awkward. I don't know how to place it, but I think we should find a broader way in which we take on board local government as an issue on its own, vis-a-vis provincial and national and Parliament. Yeah, intergovernmental relations. But the last one that I wanted to say something about, in terms of the fear and the reservations of what if the projections of macroeconomic projections don't really materialize, what then? We should craft that reservation within the context of South Africa being part of the world economy. Because not everything depends. You see, when we table the budget in February, or in, is it May? February. In February, when the budget was tabled, it was under different economic conditions. The medium-term policy budget statement, as we table it again, is under different world conditions. And South Africa is responding to those challenges not as a result of its own making. So our concern should be within the interdependence of the world economy, South Africa being part of the G20, being part of the world economy and a player in that regard, that there may be unforeseen and unavoidable issues, economic developments, that may impact on our projected economic recovery or growth path. And therefore, given that, we recommend 1, 2, 3, 4 as a committee on those issues. So that don't just say, issue a call statement to say it may not happen, and so what? What would make it not happen? You know. So I thought I should just say to the crafters of this report, they should capture that concern within the context of the global economy. Is it okay, colleagues? Agreed. Yeah. I think on your issue, Honorable Ambrosini, of wanting to capture the your reservations and observations in terms of the consistency, What we must also accept is that the general view of the committee agrees on the overall, in the overall thrust of the report itself. Now, you need to specifically state what is it that you don't agree with, and then we'll debate that. Unfortunately, we have to leave at some point.
Mr. Chairman, I raised at the beginning of the meeting this issue, and I think I need to be given the opportunity of placing my view on record. I mean, we can't close the meeting having postponed this meeting, this issue which I raised. So I will try to do it in 2 seconds. I do have a right to have a minority view recorded. I'm hereby exercising this right. The way in which I suggest that right could be, that view could be accommodated, and that's for you to decide, is by, after it says the word accept on the first sentence, accept the macroeconomic projection and the consolidated review financial framework, comma, with the IFP expressing its reservations.
No objection. Leanne? Chair.
In the name of unity and the promotion of the integrity of Parliament, a committee is the basis of that. There is no way that we must allow ourselves to speak as individuals here. We know for the fact that we are coming from diverse political parties, but that is not important at a committee level. Maybe the honourable member, as we proceed in the processes of the committee, he will understand the importance of understanding amongst committee members beyond political affiliation. I don't think it is proper, it will ever be proper, when the person present in Parliament or in any legislature to say this is the majority view and this is the minority view. It is not right, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I was interrupted to take into account the view. Can I resume? And I will respond first. The rules of Parliament, of this Parliament, of any other Parliament in which democracy is practiced, make allowance for minority views. And that because there are situations in which there is a plurality of views, and the plurality of views needs to be reflected. Democracy is undermined when there is only a majority view or when differences of views are painted over, because that reduces the very type of debate that this statement on its face intends to promote. So, as I said, it is our right. So if I can exercise this right, I can suggest, I can express the view that I've been trying to express since this morning, so that it can be recorded as the rules require, as the practice of democracy
that,
requires.
That view, Honourable Member, we can't say we'll stop you as a party to raise it in Parliament, but it's not a view of the committee.
I understand. The rules of this Parliament require for the part of this committee to record a minority view. I'm asking Mr. Chairman to respect the rules of the Parliament and make rules which are confront with them, and not to silence, change my view.
Yeah.
It needs to be reported as a minority view. Accept it's not a view of the committee. Accept it's not your view, but you are duty-bound to allow this view to be recorded.
Can I say, Honourable Speaker?
Chairperson, I want to suggest that for the sake of time, we allow Honourable Member Ambrosin to state his position. It will be recorded and will report to the House that all other parties agreed on the matter except for the IFP, and we end it there.
I think I am more comfortable with the view of Honourable Luyenge. And we are saying, as a committee, we have considered the report of the MTPBS. We have interacted with the public on this matter and experts. We have done what the law requires us to do, and we are making this recommendation. And if Honourable Member strongly feels that what the committee has done does not accommodate their views, they are free to raise that in Parliament.
Yes.
Tomorrow in the debate.
Yeah.
And lastly, I want to say,
and just to reply to this point,
honourable member, you will not take the mic if I have not given you the opportunity to do so. You have deliberately been interjecting the chairperson. And that's not going to be acceptable in my meetings. Now, I think the committee has deliberated on the report. Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chairman, on a point of order, I accept your ruling, but the minutes must then record the IFP's view, the minutes, not the recommendation or the report. Thank you.
I think that's automatic. The minutes will do that, but the report will not do that. The minutes will record that, and this meeting stand adjourned until further notice. Take your seats. We have a move on the seconder to adopt the report with amendments. Honorable Bidla?
I adopt the report, Chair, with amendments.
Seconder?
I request that we on the
seconder? You are not on the floor, Honorable Lambertini? Seconder?
I'm seconding.
Raising a point of order in the quorum.
Who's seconding? Honorable Mashele and Makubele. Honorable Mashele, what is the order?
Point of order, I request that the quorum for the meeting be verified at this juncture as required by the rules.
The quorum, I've already checked on it, the quorum is there. It's no problem.
I don't know, I just request it to be
The chairperson would not do that if he was aware that the quorum is not there. That is on behalf of the chairperson. Thank you very much.